excited. I'm so excited. Oh, I can't believe it. Wow, what a crowd tonight. Do you believe tomorrow morning is opening bow season in the state of Pennsylvania where I come from? Many places in the state of Pennsylvania. I just had to get ready tonight. I've helped the pastor put a tree stand out here, and I was shooting some today, and I was just so excited, and I just had to tell you about it. Any hunters in the crowd? How many hunters? Oh, look at them. Good. I'm in great company. Well, it is so exciting to see you here tonight, and I'm just going to set that guy down right there. Oh, I'll tell you what. I mean to tell you, I'm going to take you on a trip. Maybe you've never, anyone here have never been hunting before? Let me see your hands. Well, tonight I want you to sit up straight, and I want you to fasten your seatbelt because you are in for a great hunt, a bow hunt, a true story. I'll never forget the time I was so excited. I got an invitation to the Damon Ranch in South Central Michigan. The Damon Ranch. Yeah, Chad Damon. South Central Michigan to hunt monster whitetails with my bow. And man, I was so excited. I'll never forget that first trip as my family, we packed in our van and we were pastoring a church and we packed all our gear and got all of our stuff ready. And I was so excited. We drove all the way from Pennsylvania to the state of Michigan. And I'll never forget pulling in and my headlights pulling in the driveway and seeing deer out in their field, in their backyard. And I thought, oh man, this is going to be great. The head of the owner of the ranch, Doug Damon, had showed me pictures of great whitetails. And he said, man, the stands are all set up. And I believe it's his nephew, Mike, is it? Had set up these tree stands for me. And man, I was so excited. I remember doing a little bit of hunting while I was there. And I passed up on this one and that one. I'll never forget sitting in the house and glassing out the windows in the dining room and seeing a bunch of deer running out in the field on the far end of the property. And they said, that's the stand you want to get to tonight. It's Tuesday night. I'm preaching a revival meeting there starting that night, but I thought, I've got to get to that tree stand. I think I can have a great time. So I'll never forget, I got all my camouflage on, and I left the house, and I parked at the far end of the property, and I snuck across the field. Had my bow in my hand as I snuck across the field, and I'll never forget, I kicked up some deer, and they ran, and I made my way to my tree stand. I hooked my bow on my little thing that I can pull my bow up with, and I climbed up in the tree and I pulled my bow up. And I was so excited. I sat there in that tree and I waited. I waited and I waited. You know, you do a lot of that when you bow hunt, Brother Ziegler, don't you? I mean, there's a lot of waiting that goes on. You wait. You've got to have patience. I love sitting in a tree. When I'm not preaching this time of the year, I like to be in a tree stand, 20 to 30 feet up. I'll sit there from dark to dark. I love it. That particular time, you know, had some time in my hands. And like many bow hunts, you have a lot of time on your hands. And some guys take books into the woods with them. Some take little handheld games with them. Others, you know, they fall asleep, you know. But not me. I remember one time I was sitting in the tree stand and I began to think about the different aspects of archery hunting. I began to think, Lord, are there any spiritual applications to bow hunting? Is there anything that you would want to convey to people about archery hunting? And so as I was sitting in my tree stand one day with not a whole lot going on and action was pretty slow and things weren't happening much, I began to think about the camouflage I was wearing. You know, I didn't just climb up in my tree stand with clothes like this young man. Stand up for me tonight. You know, I might have been up in a tree stand today practicing looking like that. But I don't certainly go hunting like that. No, we put on camouflage. Do you know why you put on camouflage when you go archery hunting? Can you tell me? So the deer don't see me? That's a great answer. A great answer. Why do you think, Whitney, they put on camouflage when they go archery hunting? Any ideas? So I can disguise myself. A great answer. Camouflage. As I'm sitting up in a tree one day with not a whole lot going on, I begin to look at the camouflage that I was having on. And when I hunt, I put on the whole head and, you know, the head net, and you can't see anything, just the little beady eyes looking through. Got the boots on, I got everything, I'm covered up. And I begin to think about that word camouflage. I begin to think about what camouflage means. And Whitney, you're exactly right. Because the word camouflage means to disguise or to blend in. See, the whole purpose of wearing camouflage when you're hunting is to try to blend in, you know? You want to kind of look like a tree. You want to look like something that you're really not, right? So that when what you're looking for comes by, it doesn't think that you're an enemy. You try to be something you're not. Camouflage. And I begin to think about that for just a little while, this idea of being something we're not. And I thought, you know what? I've seen some people who've professed being a Christian on Sunday, but tried to blend in with their surroundings Monday through Saturday. You ever seen somebody like that? They might even testify on a Sunday morning. But man, come Monday, they look like their surroundings, like the world. They've tried to be something they really weren't. We're told in the Bible that we're in this world, young people, but we're not to be of this world. As Christians, we're not supposed to try to blend in with the crowd. We're to be different than everybody else. The Word of God gives a various of Scriptures and a sundry of Scriptures. Deuteronomy 14:2, the Bible says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto Himself." You're different. You're not to try to blend in with your surroundings and look like everybody else. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know, when Jesus comes into your heart and He changes you, you will be different than the people around you. Don't fall into that trap of a modern religion of where you look like the world, and act like the world, and yet say, "I'm a Christian" on Sunday morning. It's one reason why as men, we get haircuts. So we look like a young man, or an old man, or a middle-aged man, any kind of man. And that's why ladies let their hair grow, and they don't cut their hair. So they look like a lady. So that, you know, when like somebody like me, when you're traveling and you bump into what you think is a woman in the Walmart, you know, in the store, and you kind of get shoved and you bump into somebody like on Black Friday, you know. "Oh, excuse me, ma'am, you know, she's got long hair way down here." And, "No problem." "Whoa, that's a guy." Fellas were to look like fellas, and ladies were to look like ladies. All throughout the Bible, we have accounts of those who tried to be something that they weren't. Remember Adam and Eve? Here they were. God had created this beautiful garden, had made man in His own image, and took from the side of man, woman. Wow. Adam and Eve. And they had the whole garden, and yet one day sin entered into their life. They chose to eat the fruit that God told them not to eat of. And the next thing we know, we find them hiding themselves. The Bible says they made the very first camouflage outfits. They sewed fig leaves together and tried to cover themselves. What happened? They were trying to blend in. They were trying to hide, trying to be something that they weren't. And yet God came down like He always did, and He knew right where they were. What about Jacob? Remember the story of Jacob and Esau? I mean, here's their father. He can't hardly see anymore. He's kind of blind, and yet he loves venison. I mean, to tell you, Esau was a hunter. I mean, Esau was one of those kind of hunters that I'd like to be around and hang around with. And he wanted to bring some venison back for his daddy. So he went out to hunt, and Jacob, that deceiver, and his mother, you know the story, and they put that his hair on him so he'd feel like Esau when his daddy would rub his arms. And he brings that venison to his daddy, and, "Esau, is that you? You feel like Esau. You smell like Esau, but you talk like Jacob." What was he trying to do? He was trying to blend in with his surroundings. He was trying to be something that he wasn't. What about Judas in the New Testament? Judas, one of the disciples of Jesus. Here comes Jesus, and he comes up to him and he gives him a kiss. As though all was wonderful. He was trying to be something he really wasn't. Young people, don't blend in with this world. Don't try to be a part of this world and serve God. You can't have it both ways. God wants you to be a separate people, a peculiar people unto Himself. Don't try to blend in. Be holy in His sight. Oh, we were on that monster buck hunt on the Damon Ranch, South Central Michigan. I'll never forget that day I climbed up in that tree, and I remember seeing these deer out there, and I was waiting, and you know, and it was kind of quiet for a while, and all of a sudden, in this little swale, maybe 200 yards off to this direction, a doe pops out. And when that doe pops out, following her was Big Daddy. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at him. I mean, and he started chasing her. The buck was chasing the doe. And they're flying across that open field. And I'll never forget, as they were flying across that field, I thought, man, I got to get his attention. And so I grabbed my grunt call. I grabbed my grunt call. I had a grunt call with me, and I grabbed it real quick. And I wanted to see if I could get him, you know. And he's chasing that doe. And so all of a sudden, I grab that grunt call, and I go, that doe kept running into the next woods, but all of a sudden in the middle of that cornfield, that buck stopped. And when he stopped, I thought, uh-oh, he heard me. Oh, boy. And he stops and he's looking around, and I get that grunt call again, and I go, this time his body begins to turn, looking my direction. He's over 200 yards from me, and I thought, oh, boy, come on, big boy. I put the two behind me this time. As though I was a buck in this hayfield behind me. And all of a sudden, he took off in a dead run straight toward me. I mean, he ran in and I thought, it's going to get exciting. I began to reach for my bow as it was hanging there in the tree on that little limb I have. And that buck was coming. He was coming fast. But you know, when you're bow hunting, that's just a very short part of the hunting experience. Because you got a lot of time on your hand. There's not a lot going on a lot of the times. And I'll never forget sitting in a tree one day with not much happening. And again, I began to again think about the spiritual aspects of hunting. And, you know, I thought about my camouflage. And then I began to think about the calls. You know, there's all kinds of calls out there today. There's all kinds of ways to you know, use a call. And I began to think about the deer call. And I thought, how is the deer call? What's the spiritual application of the deer call? And I thought, you know what? You know what the purpose of these things are? The purpose of these things? To get the attention of what you're speaking to. And I begin to think, you know, God's call is a lot like a deer call, isn't it? Because when God talks and God calls and God speaks and His voice comes out, it's because He wants to get your attention. He's got something to tell you. Just like a hunter, you know, when he's out there in the woods and you know, he wants to get the attention of something. For example, you know, maybe you have little cans like this and you want to get the attention of a young doe, a little doe, and you turn it over. You just want to sound like a little baby. Or maybe you have a bigger doe that you want to get her attention in the woods and, you know, you just maybe you get on there and you sound like a little fawn. It's like, come over here, mommy. I need your help. Mommy, I need you. And you know, if you're up in a tree and you want a big fat mama to come up your way, you want to sound like you're the little bitty baby. And so you make that call and you hope she runs to where you are. Do you think, we're going to eat good this year? Maybe you don't want to sound like a fawn, but you want to sound like a buck. You know, there's times where you have different kinds of calls. Maybe you want to sound like the big buck. I mean, the big Damon Ranch monster whitetail that I've seen out there before, and you want to sound like a deep, deep buck. God's calls vary. There's a lot of different kinds of calls, just like there is in hunting. There's a lot of different kinds of calls, and I've thought about God's call. And I thought, you know, one of the things God calls all of us to is that He calls every one of us to salvation. His voice calls every last one of us to salvation. You see, God wants you to be saved. God wants you to know that your sins are forgiven. You say, preacher, how can I know that I'm saved? Oh, I'll tell you how. You confess your sins to Jesus. And you tell Jesus you're sorry for what you've done. The sins in your life. You know, the lying, the cheating, the stealing, the fighting, the cursing. All those things that you've done that are wrong. And you tell Him, Jesus, I'm sorry for that. And you come into my heart and forgive me. And Jesus, come into my heart. And Jesus will come in. He'll save you. He calls us to salvation, every last one of us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:9, it says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, He says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Young people, He calls you to salvation to hear His voice. But then there's another voice, another call, another message God has for us, and that is He not only calls us to salvation, but He also calls us to sanctification. He calls us to be sanctified holy. He calls us to be set apart from that nature of sin that's born inside you on the inside. Oh, there's scriptures like Leviticus chapter 20 that says, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And 1 Peter 1:16 it says, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And a verse I like just a few later, it says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He calls every one of us. It's not an option. God calls us. He speaks to us and His voice rings out. And your responsibility is to listen for that call. He is calling. He is speaking. He's calling us to sanctification. Not only is He calling us to salvation and sanctification, but I thought, you know, He's calling us to sacrifice. He's calling us to sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's calling every one of us to sacrifice ourselves to Him. And He also calls us to service. He calls us to service. In Ephesians chapter 6, He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Young people, He's calling you to service. God's not called you to occupy just a space in a pew and to breathe breath and life and air. But He calls you to be busy about His kingdom building. He calls you to be busy about His work. Do you hear His voice? Do you hear His voice? Because He is calling. He's speaking. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're sanctified? Have you responded to His call to service? I look over this crowd of young people, Brother Ziegler, and how impressive it is to have a group of young people like this. I want every young man in this room tonight, 21 years of age or under, to stand right now. If they're a little baby boy, hold them up just a little bit. Stand up right now. Every young man, 21 age and years and under, I want you to stand up right now. Stand up. Let me count you. I want to see how many there are of you. Almost 30. Stay, remain standing. Young men, listen to me very carefully. The voice of God speaks. And I'm convinced in my heart that the voice of God will call some of the young men that are standing right now to preach the gospel. I'm convinced of that. You can't tell me that the Holy Spirit will bypass Shoals Wise Ball Community Church and say, I don't want any of these young men to preach. Your responsibility is to tune your ears and your heart to God's voice. Because He's calling some of you young men to preach the gospel. Will you listen? Will you come to that call? Will you respond to that voice? Some of you young men, God wants to be missionaries. Some of you young men, God wants to be in full-time Christian service. There's no question about that. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I want to challenge you boys and young men to respond to God's voice. Listen to His call, because He's calling. You may be seated. He's calling. He's calling. Do you hear His voice? He's speaking. That's right. I was telling you this story. The Damon Ranch, South Central Michigan, monster buck hunting. And when I made that grunt call to that big buck, I mean, he ran into me. And I grabbed that bow that was hanging there. And I thought, oh man, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And he runs right in. And he stands, Brother Ziegler, 10 yards away. Broadside. I mean, the steam coming out of his nose. It was a beautiful sight. And he's looking into this hayfield because he's ready to fight this other buck that he heard that might take over that doe. And I'll never forget, I got my bow ready. And I mean, I was so excited. I mean, I was shaking a little bit, but I was so excited. And I was about to, you know, I draw, went to full draw on that buck. And I was so excited. And I thought, all I've got to do is... That buck come right in. You know, a lot of times when you're sitting in a tree stand and there's not a lot going on, you begin to think. And I've done that on a lot of occasions. And I begin to think one time about the different aspects of hunting, and I begin to think about the bow, the arrow. I begin to think, you know, could you imagine if I would just go out into the woods, I'd climb up in a tree, I'd grab my bow, and I would go to full draw on a buck, and all of a sudden I'd release the string and say, I got you. Take that. You'd probably put me away somewhere where the guys in white coats come for you, you know? No. It's a very important part of bow hunting, a very important component. And I'll never forget, as I've been sitting in tree stands and meditating and thinking, I begin to think about, you know, this arrow. You know, when it comes to archery hunting and bow hunting, an arrow is very important. An arrow is what helps to project the instrument that's going to harvest the animal that you're trying to harvest. And I'll never forget, as I was sitting in a tree one day, and I began to think about the arrow, and the Lord reminded me of a verse in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And I begin to think, you know what? We've got an enemy. We've got an enemy that wants to destroy you. And he wants to harvest you. And he wants to destroy you. And he wants to devour you. And he shoots his arrows at us. His goal is to penetrate his arrow right into our heart. So a lot of arrows the enemy can shoot at us. But one of the arrows I want to mention to you tonight, an arrow I feel like the Lord would want me to tell you about a little bit, is what I call the arrow of accusation. Because you see, the Bible, young people, talks to us about how the devil is an accuser of the brethren. And one of his goals is to shoot his arrow of accusation right into your heart and to destroy you. You see, what the enemy would like for you to think is that, you know what, you come to an altar like some of you have already in this revival meeting, and you've prayed and God has helped you, or somewhere else you've prayed, and you leave that altar, and all of a sudden the enemy, he knocks his arrow of accusation and he shoots it at you and he says, oh, you didn't really get through. You didn't really get saved. Oh, you prayed through last camp meeting or last revival. You didn't really, you know, you didn't really get saved. I mean, look at you. You didn't even jump around and shout, and you didn't run around the church, and you didn't carry a potted plant or a flag or jump a pew. You didn't really get saved. Oh, you know you didn't really get sanctified. I mean, and he shoots his arrows of accusation, and he tries to tell you that you're not what you really are. Or maybe his arrow of accusation would have you sit there right there in your pew when somebody else prays and look and say to yourself, he didn't get saved. He really didn't pray through. You don't know how many times he's prayed. Brother Ziegler, you have no idea how many times he's prayed in this church over the years. He really didn't get saved. And I know, Brother Ziegler, but he really didn't pray through. The enemy would like for the arrow of accusation to penetrate your heart and cause you to accuse your brother that he's not what he says he is. Or maybe that arrow would just like for you to lose confidence in people. Just to lose confidence in people. But can I give you a little bit of advice? A little word of admonition tonight? Something that I learned a long time ago that I believe every one of us it'll help you. And that is this. Listen very carefully. You don't judge individuals by a single issue in their life. But you look at the direction they're going. Do you hear me? You don't judge individuals by single issues in their life. You look at the direction they're going. Where I came from in Florida, my pastor preached against cowboy boots. He said, Christians don't wear cowboy boots. So my pastor preached. I came to Pennsylvania, man, and I saw people wearing cowboy boots. And I thought, what in the world? And they're a Christian? And I come to Bible college in flip-flops. And they look at me like, and you're a Christian? Well, yeah. I'm not here to tell you whether cowboy boots and flip-flops make you a Christian or not. That's not the point. The point is, don't allow the enemy of your soul to shoot his arrow of accusation to penetrate your heart that causes you to lose confidence in people over individual issues in their life. There may be people that are a little different than you. They may do things just a tad bit different. No, he might wear a brown tie, but you wear a black one. It's okay. God made the colors. Amen. It's very important, folks. It's very important. They don't judge people by individual issues in their life, but we look at the direction they're heading. Oh, the enemy, he wants to take that arrow of accusation and penetrate our hearts. Could you imagine if, for the Ziegler, he's out there the first day of deer season. He's all fired up. If you know anything about Brother John Ziegler when it comes to hunting, I mean, to tell you what, he gets fired up. So does Jonathan. So does Caleb. So does Sister. They all do. It's an exciting family. But could you imagine? Brother Ziegler gets everything ready. He gets his arrow there and he pulls it back on his string. And all of a sudden he shoots it at this big Boone and Crockett 180 class white tail. And all of a sudden when the arrow goes, it hits right off the body of the arrow. Boing! Because he didn't put anything on the end of it. You'd say something's wrong with our pastor. He needs help. He might need help anyway, right? No. There's another very important part of bow hunting. And it's called a broadhead. When I was sitting in a tree and didn't have a whole lot to do, and I began to think about the arrow and began to think about the broadhead and the purpose of this broadhead, and the purpose is to cut quickly and you can harvest whatever you are shooting at. And I thought, you know, this broadhead's very sharp, very deadly, very dangerous. And the Lord began to remind me that, you know, inside each one of us, there is the potential of something that can be very sharp and very deadly. It's called our tongue. It's called our tongue. The Lord began to remind me of the importance of watching our words and being careful with what we say and how we say it. Because you know what? Words are sharp and words can kill. How many of you have ever heard that little saying that says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me? That's not true. That's not true. Because boys and girls and young people, listen to me. Names do hurt. And they cut. And that's why it's important that we guard our tongue. And we watch our words. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. Because the enemy would like for you to hurt somebody and destroy somebody with that sharp tongue of yours. A valuable lesson. Good for old people too. May God help us to watch our tongues. Be careful with our words. Because it can hurt. It can hurt. That broadhead on the end of that arrow, with that bow in hand, can do so much. I'll never forget that day when that big buck came in and I drew that bow back. And as I drew that bow back and I began to get that sight lined up. And you see, that sight's a very important component of the bow. You see those sights right there? Fiber optic sights that illuminate on even low light levels. It's very important. You set them and you prepare and you put your sight where you want it so that you can hit the target that you're aiming for. I'll never forget one time I was bow hunting and I got to the tree stand late and I was so frustrated because I got there late and other things had happened that caused me to be there late. But as I was going to my tree stand, there was the big buck I was hunting about 20 yards on the other side of the tree stand standing there. It was already daylight. I could kick myself as that buck took off and I quickly ran to the tree, just ran up the tree practically, grabbed my bow and just pulled it up as fast. I'm breaking limbs as it's coming up. I'm just pulling up so fast and I got my bow ready. I got my grunt tube out and I begin to grunt and all of a sudden another buck showed up. Another big 8-point buck, and he comes running in, and he comes there, and he's about 20, 25 yards away, broadside. And I was so fired up, and I'll never forget, I got my bow ready, and I went to full draw on him, and I'm looking, but I can't find my pin, and I'm looking, I can't find my pins. And here in my haste to pull that bow up the tree, I busted all my pins off on branches, and I had nothing that would show me where I was aiming. And I had to watch that deer walk away. I realize sights are so vital, so very important, because it's what you're aiming at to help deliver the projectile, the arrow, the broadhead. You know something, young people? We have a goal. We have a goal, and that goal is heaven. Our sights need to be set toward heaven, our goal toward heaven. But you know what? 9 times out of 10 or 99 out of 100, it's not going to be missing sights that are going to be the problem. It's going to be the problem like one of my friends, Jacob Martin, who one time didn't realize what was taking place, but he climbed up a tree. He got ready for a bow hunt. I climbed up about 90 yards away from him. We're just in an oak flat. And all of a sudden I heard, phew. I listened, I thought, that sounded like somebody shot an arrow. But I didn't hear anything. I heard a second shot. I'm looking, but I can't see him. He's in full camo, and I can't see where he's at. But it sounded like he shot again. A third shot, but nothing running, nothing happening. I thought, what is going on? A fourth one. I thought, oh my word. I said, him shooting 4 times. It was before the days of walkie-talkies. We didn't have any. All of a sudden, I saw an orange hat appear in the woods. He put his hat on and he began to climb down of his tree. I can see him as I looked and he got on the ground. He was doing something. Then he climbed back up, took his orange off and kind of blended back in. And I thought, what in the world is he doing? I just couldn't wait. We were going to hunt until a certain time. I couldn't wait to get down and go over and get ready to leave and see what happened. And it was that time I got down on my tree and I walked over to where he was and he was up in his stand. I'm like, what happened, man? Was that you shooting? He said, oh, you won't believe it. He said, this big deer come right in here. 5, 6, 7 yards from me. And I shot the first arrow and went between her legs. She never moved. So I knocked another arrow and shot and I went over her back over here. And he said she just kind of walked around. And I took another shot at her and I missed her again. I shot all my arrows and I missed her every time, never touched her. And she just still stood there. I said, man, what is the deal? We got home and he began to check his sights and shoot at his target. He missed his target. He hit high on the little garage barn thing he had. Unbeknownst to him, his sight had gotten bumped. He had no idea. It looked like all was well. It appeared like everything was good. It was good the last time he checked his sights, but he had gone for just a little while and his sight got bumped. And therefore, as he began to shoot, he was missing his target. It's one reason why we have revivals, young people. That we may check our sights. To make sure that in that day when we think we're ready for heaven and all is well, but we've lived life, and all of a sudden we recognize when it's too late that our sight has ever been slightly bumped. Slightly bumped. And we realize we've missed the target. We've missed the goal. Young people, our sights need to be set to heaven, That's the goal of the Christian. We want to make it to heaven. We want to get to heaven. But you've got to make sure your sights are set. And all is well so that you make the goal that you're striving for. Well, that particular day in South Central Michigan, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it as I drew my bow back and I had an arrow there. And I put that pin right there where I needed to put it, right behind the front legs. And I let an arrow go. And because I prepared, because I had practiced and had the proper preparation, my sights were in tune and my arrow was prepared and it flew straight. Everything was perfect. That big buck, as that arrow penetrated and went all the way through, ran around over here and fell over, and it was over. And I became a successful hunter that day on the Damon Ranch. Shot a nice 8-point buck, my biggest buck to that point. I became a successful bow hunter that day. You know why? Because I had prepared. And I made sure that my sights were true. Young people, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. Don't blend in with the world. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian on Monday through Saturday. Serve God. Listen to His voice. Remember, He calls. Oh, who knows what He might be calling you to do. For some of you, He might say, it is time to get saved. For some of you, you've been saved, but He begins to speak to you and says, you know what, it's time for you to go to the deeper life and get sanctified holy. For some of you young men, it might be that God's voice really speaks and says, it's time for you to preach the gospel. Prepare for my work. Watch the enemy of our soul. He's got an arrow of accusation that wants to devour you, cause you to lose confidence in yourself and others, and to begin to point fingers. Watch your words. Your words can hurt. They can be sharp and they can kill. Check your sights. Make sure that your sight is not bumped and out of line, because all it takes is a slight bit and you'll miss the goal, the prize. The prize and the goal for the Christian is heaven. And I don't know about you, young people. Well, I kind of think I do know about some of you. But God only truly knows. God only truly knows if you're truly ready for heaven. You may tonight need to pray. You may need to do some business with God. Maybe you're already prepared, but my prayer is that every one of us will someday make the eternal prize, heaven our home. Amen? Amen. Brother Ziegler.